Mark chapter number 4. Can everybody hear okay out there? Great job up there, guys. Mark chapter number 4. We need to do one just for the kids sometime up there. I thought I knew everything that there was to know about fireworks because I love fireworks. When I told Charity that I loved her when we were dating or recording, I told her that I loved her and I had a fireworks show, an entire like professional fireworks show. And I love shooting off fireworks. Brother Todd, if you remember those days at Cedar River, we about killed everybody. But I thought I knew everything about fireworks until I went to shoot off a firework at home that was left over from a big show. It was a huge mortar. And I'll tell you in just a little bit about what my son said, but leave that aside for now. Despite what he said, I went with a propane torch and I lit that firework off thinking I knew everything about fireworks. It was a part of a cake of a set that had fallen apart, had come apart, but the fireworks still looked good. And I just about lost my face. When I touched the fuse, the firework went off and my head was still over it. The ball, the inside fireball of that huge mortar, went so close to my head. I mean, it was probably about an inch from my head. I thought it hit me right in the face. That it blew me back, almost knocked me out. I couldn't hear anything for a long time. And I still have the white hat where it's all burnt black on my hat that I was wearing. I thought I blew out my eye. And I thought I knew everything about fireworks. There are going to be times in your life when your faith fails. There's going to be times in your life where your hope fails. There's going to be times in your life where you feel like you don't have it figured out. There are going to be times in your life where your dreams fail and everything around you in the future. I hope some of you walk through valleys. Some of you have walked through hard times, but probably not as many as the adults that are here. Maybe in losing a child, maybe in a miscarriage, maybe in a church situation or a loss of job or a health situation or cancer, whatever it may be. The Bible says that man that is born of woman is full of few of days and full of trouble. Thank God for his grace and his mercy. And that we can have the joy-filled life, however hard times come. And there are days where life in and of itself fails and you just don't know what to do. And there has to be a formula that you follow, just like when you go to the doctor. How many of you young people have been to the doctor before? Raise your hand. You've been to the doctor before. All of you at some point in time have probably been to the doctor if you're born. You've been to the doctor and you've been given a prescription. You've been given a prescription. Amen. Right. And you follow that prescription. You don't feel well. You can't even think right. But you trust the prescription that your parents gave you, or take this or drink this or do this. And you follow that prescription. In life, there are days where if you are not following the prescription, which, by the way, is every day for the believer, if you're not following the prescription, you will fail. The principle of following this prescription is found all throughout the Bible. We're going to look at Mark chapter number 4 because it's the first parable that Jesus gave. And everybody can hear me okay out there. My monitors at our church, our monitors are so loud. So if I'm yelling at you, that's why. If you can turn them up just a little bit, then that will help me. Mark chapter number 4. And we find the first parable that Jesus gave. And it is a parable. You can turn it down just a little bit now. The first parable, I'm picky, right? Of the sower and the seed. The sower goes out into the field and he sows the seed. You see that in Mark chapter 1, chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. How many of you see that? Raise your hand. You're using your Bible. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. He ends the first parable and he says in verse number 9, read out loud together. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That little phrase in verse number 9 is what the Bible, what the Lord would have me to preach about this morning, ears to hear. He says in verse number 13, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? He said, if you do not get this parable, he said, if you don't understand this parable, you won't be able to get any of the other teachings that I have to give, Jesus said. And so we see that the Bible is teaching us to have ears to hear. I want you to notice the context of the passage. He is saying the problem is not with the seed. The problem is with the soil. He's saying the problem is not with the sower. Okay? The sower might have a problem, but the seed is incorruptible. The seed that we have, faith cometh by and hearing by the, that's good seed. He said, the problem is not with the light. The problem is with the The problem is with the, it rhymes. The problem's not with the light. The problem's with the sight. And that is the principle in this passage of Scripture, that there is a responsibility to the follower of Jesus to receive. That is what the word hearken means. It means more listening here and ears to hear. It means more than just the drone of some announcement over an airport announcement system. It means that you are listening and heeding, hearkening, obeying, receiving into your life. And that is what Jesus is talking about. Let's pray. Father, bless us, I pray, as we teach this principle this morning that can transform our lives if we commit to it. And we vow in our hearts with the resolve and a commitment that we will be this kind of a Christian with ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to think about the preaching cycle and the teaching cycle, because you hear so much. How many of you go to Christian school? Okay, that's like everybody. How many of you have school chapels? Okay, how many of you have teachers? Okay, how many of you have classes? Somebody is sowing the seed and sowing the seed and sowing the seed and sowing the seed year after year, hour after hour after hour after hour in your life. When we come to preaching and teaching, there is a biblical spiritual cycle that happens. For instance, a preacher like Pastor Angel, and he could represent your pastors. He is studying the Word of God and reading the Word of God for himself. And he's walking with God. He's feeding upon the Word of God. And in that, God begins to stir his heart as a preacher of the gospel about a truth that he needs to take to the people, whether it be in a meeting like this or to his own church or in a Sunday school class or in a Christian school chapel or in a classroom. And he then takes that message that's in his heart and he begins to pray about it. And he begins to seek God about it. And God has lit a fire in his heart. First, it came into his mind as he was studying and reading and listening. It comes into his mind. Wow, that's a good truth. Now it moves to his heart. It's like Jeremiah said, his word was as a fire shut up in my bones. Man, God did something. Man, that's so good. Wow, I need that. And now he begins to formulate it in a coherent thought that he can present or preach to a group of people. And so maybe he writes down notes and he puts it into an outline. And it's a big process. And then eventually God brings the right service. Is it Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Is it in school chapel? Is it at summer camp? When and who and where is this truth to be delivered? And then finally the delivery comes. And out his lips now, he needs to be prayed up and in the Spirit of God to deliver the truth, not to be a distracted messenger, but that the message could go forward and that the truth could be heard. But that is just the tip of the iceberg of the process of the Word of God. That's just the first little bit of the cycle. The most important part now happens with the receiver who comes in, and the Bible teaches us, but unfortunately, Brother Bragg, many young people and many Christians, Brother Hansen, in our churches, even adults who've been coming to church our whole life, they don't understand this. They don't do it. They don't obey it. I believe that many in this room do. But if not, I want you to understand that that's where it just starts. When you come in to hear the preaching, you have got to open your ears. You have got to on purpose say no to the distraction, maybe the growl of your stomach, maybe the girl that's sitting across the way or the guy, maybe the bad attitude that you kind of copped this morning because somebody told you to go to bed early last night or made you get up or said this or said that or you got in trouble just a little bit. You have to put all of that aside and say, I'm going to listen. This is not about some Joe Brown that I don't know. This is about the Word of God. Is Mark chapter 4 in the Bible or is it not? Is Jesus God or not? So I'm going to listen. And as you listen, now through prayer, the Spirit of God, just like I mentioned Pastor Angel's Bible and prayer and study, started with that spirit life, walking in the Spirit, praying, seeking God. Now you begin to think about what is being preached, just like you should be and I believe are right now. And so the cycle continues. And you're thinking about it and you're putting two thoughts together. You're being a good steward of what you're being delivered instead of just sitting here saying, entertain me. Man, I sure hope he, shows something that wakes me up or entertains me a little bit. No, it's your responsibility as the soil to receive that seed. And so you're thinking about it. And by the Spirit of God, he begins to stir your heart. How many of you young men have heard preaching before and you realize your heart's being stirred? raise your hand. You realize your heart's being stirred. How many ladies have you ever thought, man, I wish I could preach because, man, I'm getting stirred up. How many ladies have ever had a message before? It's okay. It's all right. My wife could sure preach if we let her. Man, something begins to stir in your heart. That's a good truth. I need that, or she needs that. And something begins to stir in your heart. Then you go out and you're not just hearers, but you're doers. Now the cycle has been completed, and that's discipleship, Brother Hanson. That's growth. And now all of the prayer and the work and the investment of God into you as a preacher now has come into fruition. It has come full circle. But many times it's just the pastor as an entertainer, and he doesn't want to be an entertainer. It's just the pastor as the performer who's done all the work behind the scenes to come out and to put on a show with the living Word of God. Because we're just sitting here not thinking it through, not analyzing, thinking, meditating, writing upon the table of our heart, allowing it to soak into our mind, then into our heart to eventually act upon it and change our life. The Bible says that the Word of God is rich and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Why then will young people that get as much preaching and teaching as you will get over your Christian school career still throw it all away, Brother Bragg? It's unbelievable. The blindness. I mean, I counsel people in our church that I've known my whole life have sat under preaching for more than 30 years. Sat under Bible preaching, the Wednesday night series that my dad would go through, and teaching on the family and the Christian life and discipleship and the home and soul winning and living for God and all of these things. And yet they will come into the office and say things that make my head explode, like, where have you been for 30 years? And it's so sad. Because it's not the problem in this kind of circle, I truly believe. The problem is not with the youth pastors and the youth pastors' wives and the pastors and the pastors' wives and the school teachers. We have the Word of God. I'm not in here at a liberal church trying to preach to you to, hey, get the Bible. Come on, say something. Quit just having a rock concert. No, that's not the problem in your churches and in your schools. You have the truth. There are 7 children in my family, and my wife and I have 7 children. It is their responsibility to listen to the teaching that Charity and I are trying to give them. And out of 7, there is a good possibility that one or more of them may not live for God, but it will be because they do not hearken or receive what is being taught. And yes, there is a responsibility on the sower. There is a responsibility to sow the seed correctly. That's not what we're preaching about this morning, because I believe in your churches and I trust in your churches that you have Bible preachers and Bible teachers. The responsibility is with the listener. Hear, O Israel. So I want to show you the formula that Jesus gives after this first parable. And what we're going to do is we're going to teach a formula. And if you'll be charactered in listening in this first few minutes here, as you have been, then we're going to play it out. I'm going to illustrate it. I'm going to show you what these verses are, and you're going to visualize it, okay? So if you don't follow Mark chapter 4, starting verse 23, 24, and 25, if you don't follow it verse by verse, when we play it out, you won't be connected with it. You need to see it. So Mark chapter number 4, and let's look at verse number 23. Again, the Bible says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. So here's the formula. He said unto them, take heed what ye hear, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Now, that sounds a little confusing, doesn't it? If you were again thinking, as I know you are, and you ought to read, you ought to have your Bible, you ought to be thinking, maybe even have a pen out. Don't write a bunch, because you don't want to go home with the message on paper. You want to go home with it on your heart. But you can underline a verse or two, mark, and you're looking in verse 25, and it says, for he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. Well, I didn't think he had anything. Well, we'll see this. It's explained clearly right here in the scriptures. Here's the formula. Number one, if you're writing anything down, you can write this down. Jesus is saying, listen, disciple, listen, follower, take heed. Pay attention to what you are hearing. I see children up here. They, at that age, are a culmination of everything that they have heard. You as a high school senior or sophomore or whatever age you are a culmination of everything that you have received, that you have allowed to come into your life, that you have hearkened to, the Bible calls it, that you have bent your ear to instead of hardening your neck. Hardening your neck means closing off your ear and turning the direction from what you should be hearing. He that hardeneth his neck, he that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck. I'm not listening anymore. I won't listen anymore. He said she'll suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Our son Samuel just turned 2. He doesn't have a political preference yet. He doesn't have a favorite sports team yet. He will be the culmination of what he receives. And if he decides to be a rebellious child and not listen to mom and dad who lovingly and graciously try to teach him and discipline him when he's not listening, he might think one day when he's 18, well, I'm my own man. You know, I just don't really agree with everything my Christian school teaches. You think you're your own man, your own woman, but you still are a culmination of everything that you have received. That's who you are. I can be around people for 5 minutes and start picking up on who they're listening to. They think that they're an individual and, you know, I just like this kind of music over here because that's just what I like. No, it's what you've allowed yourself to listen to and be influenced by. A friend that said, hey, have you ever heard this? Or, hey, what's wrong with this? Or why don't we do this? And you begin to formulate thoughts from what you are hearing. So what are you hearing? Are you listening to the scorner and the critic and the negative in your Christian school? He said, hey, take heed what you hear, because that's who you are going to be. You are a culmination of what you hear. Hey girls, is there a lady in the church, a girl in the school who is constantly cutting somebody down, some other girl? Maybe she's not as pretty, or maybe she's not as popular. Maybe she can't sing as well, and they're constantly sliding. Hey, be careful. It may not be coming out of your mouth, but if it's coming in your ears, it will become you. Amen. You might not be the one telling the dirty jokes or making the off-colors innuendos about inappropriate things, gentlemen. But if you're listening, if you're hearkening, if you're not doing what Jesus said the rebellious were doing and hardening your neck and saying, no, I'm not. I will not listen to that. I'm not going to often hear those dirty jokes and those critical things and those rebellious things. I'm not going to listen and talk about, yeah, I know they all think I'm going to Bible college, but really what I'm going to do probably, I'm not going to tell my parents or my pastor because they probably wouldn't approve. But you know what I think I ought to do is this, that, or the other. You're going to constantly hear something that is deceitful, that is negative or critical. He said, hey, be careful what you hear. And then he says, number 2, I want you to see it. He said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. He's basically saying, you reap what you sow. So he says, take heed what you measure or how much you hear. Now we're talking about hearing here. He says, pay attention to how much you're hearing. Okay? So how much of the word of God are you going to listen to? Are you going to say, I'm going to take a little ounce or a little teaspoonful or a little cupful or a bucketful or a dump truck full? You know, back in the day when my dad was a teenager down south in North Carolina and serving with Bobby Robertson there at Gospelite, he talked about teenagers would load up in cars when they got their driver's license and they traveled to preaching meetings all over the South. They couldn't get enough preaching. They loved it. They ate it up. And God blessed their life with the power of God upon their life and their ministries and their families and their homes. Why? Because as much as they could get, God would bless them with that and even more in the principle of reaping and sowing. So how much of the scorner are you going to hear? How much of the critic are you going to hear? How much of the worldly cultural music are you going to hear? He said, hey, take heed what you hear. And he said, pay attention how much you hear, because number one, take heed what you hear. Take heed, pay attention to how much that you can get, how much you're going to listen in Christian school. Hold on. Every time, I know it's 8:30 in the morning. Here we are in chapel again. I've heard the same speaker and he's boring. And you know, I just... Hey, there ought to be a young person that says every time the word of God is being taught, every time instruction is given, I need to listen and get as much of it as I can and think about it. Think about it. It's going to make you smarter and wiser and more knowledgeable in the things of God as God has commanded us to do. And he said, now, number 3, he said, whatever you have measured, whatever you have taken, it will be measured to you again. And so here's the thought. I have the chance to listen to the critic, the scorner, the bitter, the negative, the godless, the humanist, the Christ-like, the joy-filled, the truth-filled. And I reach over and I say, look, I want some of this and I'm going to get all that I can. I'm going to listen all that I can. When I come into church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, this isn't for the deacons and the choir members and the adults. This is for me. I'm going to listen to everything I can. I'm going to think about it. Okay, I'm thinking it through. God, speak to my heart. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to be passionate about it. And by the grace of God, I'm going to live it out. I'm going to be careful what I hear, that I hear the right and the godly and the proven and the trusted. I'm going to hear what my parents and my pastor and the spiritual leaders in my life have to say and what they're listening to. And then he says something very interesting in verse 25. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. He says, look, if you don't want it and you walk away and you don't listen, you're going to lose what you do have. When you get saved, I'm going to need two volunteers and we're going to play this out, this little formula. Raise your hand if you want to be a volunteer. All over. All right. How about we'll start. Is this Faith Baptist right back here? We'll start right there, the host church. Why not the first guy in Faith Baptist right there? Why don't you come on up? Let's scan across here. Who's dressed sharp? Ready to. Okay, right here in the blue tie. Why don't you come on up here? And then, Brother Andrew, I'm going to need your help if you want to come on up. Where are you at? And if you might want to get somebody to help you. When you get saved, you're happy that you're saved. We call it the joy of salvation. You're saved and you know you're saved. Aren't you glad that you're not dying and going to hell? Somebody say amen to that or raise your hand. Ladies, you're glad you're not dying and going to hell. You get the joy of salvation. Now, we're going to play this out and have an invitation. Go ahead. In just a minute, let's blindfold them. The Bible says the just shall. Can you help me blindfold them real quick? Let me get one more work. Up here, an adult up here, Brother Bragg. Why don't you blindfold them and then you two guys go ahead and start putting them all around, if you will. The Bible says the just shall live by sight. The just shall live by. Come on, y'all got to wake up just a little bit this morning. The just shall live by. Louder. The just shall live by. Not by sight. And so at your teenage years, you're all under your parents, you're all in school, you're all in a home where you are to receive instruction so that you can find the will of God for your life, the perfect will of God. You will not find it out by your own humanistic sight. You might perceive, like the prodigal son, that there's a better job somewhere else, but you will fail. You must get the will of God by listening. And so there's a lot of things in the will of God, like here's true love. I'm talking about love from God, not some kind of Hollywood love, but true love. Over here, here's a happy home. Does anybody want a happy home? Raise your hand. You want a good home. There's peace. There's no fighting, no division, no bickering. Here's soul saved. Your life has purpose. You bring somebody to Christ. Bring it on up back here on the back wall, if you will. How about here? Children from God. Man, God blesses your home, reaching your potential. Right over here. Put things nice and high right up here. Respect. Gentlemen, you want respect. Wow. You've lived a charactered life with integrity. Here's good memories. And something out here says no regrets. There's generational influence. Man, I want my life to count for Jesus. Here's a heavenly marriage. Anybody want a heavenly marriage? Man, this is of God. All the marriages falling apart and all of the sorrows. He's about ready to put up a good church. And no regrets. So all of these things are out there. And Jesus is teaching, you have to hear. You have to listen. Take heed what you're hearing, because it's going to determine whether you get all of these things or not. And if you don't, you're going to be bitter because life didn't turn out for you because you didn't listen. Here's a good church. Awesome. So we have these two guys here, and I do not know their names. What is your name?
Hector.
Hector. There's Hector. And?
Weston,
Hector and Weston. Let's give Hector and Weston a big round of applause. You can just put that down by your side. You can just put that down by their side. So the green cards represents that they're believers. They're Christians. They trusted Christ. Man, I'm so glad that I trusted Christ. However, when you get saved, you don't get all you think you get. A lot of people, when they get saved, you know, down south, I've been in camp meetings, they say, man, when I got saved, I got all joy and I got all peace and I got all victory. And I'm like, no, you didn't. You got access to it. You got eternal life. And you got so great a salvation. You're okay. Just stay right here. Okay. I have no idea what he's doing. Seriously, just stay right there. I remember somebody gave us tickets to Disneyland. I'd never been. And I went with my brother-in-law and he had been before. And I get in the entrance and there's this train and there's all these characters. We only had a couple kids at that point in time. You guys just stand here and listen. And so I get into the entrance, and it's like an hour or two, and we only had one day. And it was both parks of California Wild Adventure or something, the next park next to it. We had one day, like, which isn't much time. I didn't know that, but now I know that. And that's the only time I've ever been. One day. And so I'm spending like an hour, hour and a half in the entrance. I'm buying corn dogs. I'm like, this food is amazing. We're taking pictures. We're having a great time. It's a beautiful Southern California day. Oh, we're having. And my brother-in-law is frustrated. He's like, come on. We got to get your food. We got to go. We got to get on into the park. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I said, this is incredible. Let's go over here. Let's go into this store. He said, no. We don't have much time. He said, if you knew what was out there, the rides, the things that were out there. Well, eventually we got in after I'd wasted a ton of time. And, man, I rode these rides that blew my mind. I had no idea. I mean, this stuff was incredible. I'm like, why didn't you tell me about this? He said, I tried to tell you about this. Now, wait a minute. I had tickets that were purchased, but I was not enjoying what was mine. And see, you've been given access and an opportunity to the will of God, the joy of God, a life beyond your wildest dreams and imagination. And you just have to trust us, right, Brother Todd? We can talk to him about marriage and the will of God and, man, the joy of when you pillow your head after a summer, a week of camp, Todd and Rebecca saying, man, I'm so glad I'm living for Jesus. But you just got to believe it by faith. About the will of God for your life as you enter into adulthood. And so you've been given access, and listening is the only way for you to access. And so much could be said about the prodigal son and so many others in the scriptures. And so he says, take heed what you listen. Are you going to listen? How much are you going to listen? How much are you going to measure out? Because it's going to come back to you. So Hector, right? Hector, what sounds good out there? You know, ministry, no regrets, heavenly marriage, true love, happiness, joy, dreams fulfilled, true friends, a clean heart, good memories, peace, wonderful peace. Good memories. Where's good memories? That's living a life of no regrets. So good memories right over there, right? Okay, so I want you to take a right. Okay, follow my voice. Walk straight. Walk straight. Keep walking. Now turn to the left. Turn to the left. That's good. Stay right there. Now walk straight. Good job. Keep walking straight. Keep walking straight. You got it. Keep walking straight. Just walk straight. Keep walking straight. I did not tell him to do this. He's walking like I don't know what. Somebody in one of those videos last night. Take a right. Walk straight. A little bit left. Okay. Walk straight. Reach your right hand out. Right there. Okay. Grab that. Hold it up. And you know what? He listened and he has good memories. It's that simple. I know y'all think I'm crazy, but if you'll just listen and say, you know what? I'm going to listen to the Word of God and the people that God put in my life to teach and preach the Word of God. Thank God for that. Good memories. What else would you like? Ministry. Where's ministry? Somebody help me. I was hoping he'd say heavenly marriage. Because I was good. All right. So take a left. There you go. Now walk straight. Oh, it's okay. It's all right. Now walk straight. Okay. Turn slightly left. Walk straight. Does he always walk this way? All right. Okay. Ready and stop. Good. Turn slightly left. Okay. Stop. Walk forward. Forward, reach your right hand out, straight, no, a little too, yes, right there, now down, right there, you found it, hold it up. Man, he listened, thank God he listened in Christian school and in Bible college, now he's got a ministry. Thank God he just got called to be the assistant pastor of, what church are you from? Faith Baptist Church, oh Lord, pray for this church. Okay, now Weston, right? Weston, what would you like out there? True love, happiness, dreams fulfilled, heavenly marriage, soul saved, financial stability, clean heart. True friends, generational influence, peace, joy, respect, you name it. What would you like?
Financial stability.
Financial stability. All right. You're going to do things God's way. Follow the Bible way. All right. Very, very good. Where is that? It's out here somewhere. Oh, shh. Okay. Very good. All right, Weston, here we go. It's very simple. Just simply take a right. Take a right and let's go, baby. Does he know his left from right? You know your left from right? Yes, he does. Okay. All right. Go ahead and turn and face the crowd. Turn and face the crowd. Okay? It's really not that hard. It's simply just listening to the Word of God, okay? Do you really want financial stability?
Yes.
Okay. He said yes. Okay. All right. So I don't want you to stumble here. Go ahead and take a left now. Take a left. No, away from my voice. Okay? We're going to do it the long way around then. If you want to go this way, walk forward. Walk forward. Okay, all right. Okay, take a right now. Just go ahead and take a right. Okay, all right. Can you back up just a little bit? Back up. Okay, Weston, let's do something else that's close. How about happiness? Man, you just want some joy, right? How about some happiness? We can't do that right now because you're not listening, but let's do that over here. Go ahead and take a right. Would you, Weston, take a right? And we're going to come right over here. And Weston, do you really want to be happy in life and have the joy of the Lord? You really do? You mean that? How about a good church? You want to stay in church? Let me tell you how you can stay in church. Okay, go ahead and take a left. We're gonna stay in church. Come on, buddy. Look. I'm not trying. I know you probably think I'm your enemy by now, and I'm not trying to rough you up or anything. But I want you to stay in church. Come on. Why don't you just? Do you want to be in a good church? Do you want to?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. Why are you saying yes if you're? Yeah. Okay. So Weston, here's the thing. Whatever you want, it's out there, I guess, maybe, for you. Why don't you just, so you want that financial stability. You want to be blessed by God. Why don't you go find it? We're going to pray for you. Your youth pastor and your pastor, we're going to pray for you, and our hearts are broken. We're a little sad because you won't listen. It's so easy. Go ahead, Weston. Go ahead. Taking you a while here. Can you move a little? What, there is a step there, buddy. Okay. I didn't want to tell him because that would have been a good illustration, but I don't know if he's over 18 or not. Get sued. Okay. Hold on, buddy. Just look, man, I'm so sorry. I know you're getting a little bitter because you think everybody else, you know, we're favoring everybody else and somehow God's better to everybody else. But it really doesn't work that way. I know you don't see it that way. And you want to stay faithful in church. You want to be in a good church. Okay, just walk forward. You got to be careful because there's some drop-offs. Take a slight right. Take a right. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to do this. Go ahead and keep taking a right. Okay, stop right there. Reach your right hand up. Follow the pulpit on down this way, right over here. Not Joe Biden. All right, right here. Right there. There we go. There you go. Man, aren't you glad Hector's been in church for 25 years? He didn't quit when he got out of high school. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. You got that from listening. You want to try it again? A happy home? I mean, surely you want a good wife and good children, a happy home. You don't want to be lonely and you're paying child support and divorced and, man, you lost respect. Just take a few steps forward. Come on, buddy. We're praying for you. We want you to do that. Just walk forward. Please. You just don't. I'm not your enemy. I'm preaching the word of God to you. When are you going to listen? We're here to help you. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. We're here because we love you. We want you to have a happy home. Why are you getting bitter? Why are you upset? You think we're favoring him? You really think that's what it's all about? You got it figured out. You want to go your own way. Go your own way, but with a broken heart. We'll stay back home. We'll love you. We'll pray for you. We'll have you back, but you're going to have to listen. There's nothing we can do if you won't listen. We can't counsel you. We can't help you. We can't marry you off. We can't recommend you to a job or a minute. You won't listen. You say you're listening, but you won't listen. Please listen. We're your friends. We care about you. Look, let's go out to eat and sit down and let's talk about it. Awesome, man, this is great. It's been a good meal. I want you to know you're my friend. Now, look, you're going to have to start doing right. I know there's a lot of baggage now in your life. I know there's bitterness. And, man, your finances are out of control. You're out of church. Your home's broken. Look, you grew up in a good Christian home. But, man, from here on out, how about we just have some peace in our heart? Why don't you get right with God? Now, look, just come on. Let's get up from this meal. Just take five steps forward. Just five steps forward. That's all I want you to do. Seriously. Stop right there. Now, this, teenagers, you can't understand. But my heart is just so overwhelmed because this is what we watch. This is what we see as pastors and youth pastors. Don't you see it? Just staggering around in life trying to find the will of God. Getting bitter, pointing fingers. Yeah, Faith Baptist Church. I remember Pilate's Christian school. Because bitterness comes when life doesn't turn out the way that you want it to. Let me tell you something. The promises of this book are true. The future is as bright as the promises of this book. But wait a minute. He says how much you've listened. He says I'll give more to you. So for instance, a happy home, let's say. Because you listened about who to date, who to court, now I'm going to give you a happy home. And because you have a happy home and you're following God, you got a good church, I'm going to give you children from God. I remember being asked to teach a fourth grade boys class. And at first I didn't want to, but they said, you know what? Every opportunity you get, you ought to just take. Man, if it's something good like that. So I just listened and I took it. I had no idea because I took that, that God would continue to open doors until finally I was pastoring the church that I was a little baby in one day. And because I said yes to God, and let me tell you something, I had my struggles in life, but because I listened to my dad and said yes to God about this girl that I wanted to marry and met the dream of my life, Charity, I didn't realize that God was going to go around and give me dreams fulfilled. And when I wake up in the morning and I see Aaron and Hannah and Lydia and Abigail and Rachel and Hannah and I see souls being saved, lives being changed. Man, I preached a suicide funeral 2 weeks ago and I had two university students walk up to me and say, hey, please, I need to be saved. Show me how to be saved. Man, I went home with a joy and a peace in my heart and God just kept blessing and blessing and blessing. Hey, let me tell you something. I never set out for that. By the grace of God, from old-fashioned Bible preaching, there were times in my life where I began to wake up and surrender and say, hey, I'm just going to listen. And all these things were added and no regrets. I'm so glad. I've got high school friends that I graduated from college with and now they graduated from high school with and they come into my office. And I feel weird because I kind of looked up to them when I was in 11th grade. And they're like, man, my life is horrible. Can you help me? And I'm sitting here saying, no regrets. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. Man, I thank God for that. Why? Because to him that hath, it shall be given. Now, my time's almost up. Sit down right here on the step, right here. One step forward. Thank you. Appreciate that. Look at verse 25. Look at verse 25. You've been so patient. Look at verse 25. For he that hath, to him shall be given. Did you see that? The level of which you listen in Christian school will be the level in which you're blessed. That statement could change your life. It's boring. I've heard all of this. The more you listen, the more you'll be blessed. There were so many stories I was going to tell, but I had too much fun preaching the message and ran out of time. But the point is this. The point is this. At every juncture of my life, it has not been my moxie or talents or gifts. Because I know people 10 times more talented than I am. Whose life is destroyed. The only reason I'm standing before you today in this church, having the incredible opportunity that a Pastor Angel would trust me to preach to you and to your church, is because I listened. That's the only reason. I just listened. The formula works. But then what happens is here's a Christian and he doesn't listen. And the Bible says, now you're not going to lose your salvation. But this principle is taught throughout the scriptures about a root of bitterness springing up. Matter of fact, in the parables, there's so much there. To him that hath, that but he won't listen, that which he has will be taken. Look at verse 25. Now look up here real quick. I'm not saying he's going to lose his salvation, but the joy of the Christian life is taken away. And I've had people come by my office and said, Joe, I drive by the church at 6 a.m. every Sunday morning. He said, a lump gets in my throat to remember those days. And then something came over his face. And he said, because I wanted him, I'm like, well, hey, it's not too late. Something comes over his face. And he's like, that's not me. You know, you guys in bitterness. How many people, Brother Todd, remember the Cedar River Baptist camps? And maybe now, even so soon as the Kite River Revival Grounds. I remember those days. How many people live maybe in the Kankakee area in apartments and trailers and homes that are bitter towards this church right here? And Pastor Angel and all those Revival Fires preachers and all the conferences. And they got to get online and slay them. Why? Because they have nothing. The joy of salvation is not there anymore. If you are not growing, you are dying. And soon that which you do have will be taken away. And you'll be saved, but a bitter Christian. Because it worked out for everybody else, but not for you. And our communities and towns, and sometimes even our backslidden pews, are filled with Christians with the crossed arms. Saying, you know, it just doesn't really work. all because you did not have childlike faith to listen. I challenge you, I implore you, every time the Word of God is opened, think about it. Listen. Apply your heart. Look, you could be at camp this summer, Brother Todd, and you just lost a massive game. You're sweating. You're tired. You're thirsty. Make it a character of your life. Whoa, preaching time. What is he talking about? What's the title? What's the truth? What is the nugget here that's trying to be delivered? What is it? What does it mean? How does it apply to my life? Okay, I just need to do it. There have been many times, even as a pastor, that I've had older pastors tell me, son, let me tell you something. Be careful about this, that, or the other. And I have risen up in my heart, Brother Pete, and I thought, well, I'm a pastor. I can figure this out. But I wait, and I say, are they coming from the Word of God? Are they coming from prayer in a Spirit-filled, proven life? And many times, my wife knows this, I have just done it because they said it. And I've always been blessed. I've always been blessed. Young people, thank you for listening. My prayer is that you won't be like Weston. We love Weston. And there's mercy and grace if you haven't been listening. Why don't you make a commitment? I will be a teenager that has ears to hear. Brother Bragg, why don't you come? Heads bowed, eyes closed. You make a decision right now. Y'all can take these blindfolds off. You guys did a great, great job. Truly appreciate it. I hope y'all were listening as well. Truly appreciate it. Brother Bragg, I really appreciate your patience this morning and the opportunity to preach. Do business with God as Brother Bragg leads you.
The altar's open. Don't need to prime the pump. You heard the message. He's so right. I could tell you stories. Across this room, there's folks that could tell you stories. I sat with one just over the Christmas break. Brother Bragg, I don't even know how to come back. Sat right here, convention. Sat right here. I don't even know where to start. Loved on him. Prayed with him. The way of the transgressor is hard, though. It's hard. And they do. They know where to come back to. That's the thing. They know where to come back to. I'm afraid that some have already, Brother Brown, thought about what it's like outside of here. They've already sold out. They've already thought, I'm done with this. It's not for me. Come talk to some of us.
If that's you, you're not listening to truth.
That's right. You know, it's been a theme that I've heard him preach last night, this morning. How's your music? How's your music? Man, video after video after individual last night. The devil's working through music. If we pulled your phone out, what would be on there? TikTok? What would it be? Not rush the Holy Spirit. God's doing some work. Pastor Angel talked about it last night. It's one thing, come up here and make a decision. What are you going to do when you leave here? You need some accountability. You need somebody to ask you, how's it going? How's it going? Things going all right? My dad used to tell me just a phrase. He used to say, son, you're keeping your nose clean. He wasn't talking about boogers. He just wanted to know, how's it between me and the Lord? How are things going? You doing what you're supposed to do? How are we doing? How are you doing? Heavenly Father, thank you for coming and meeting with us this morning. I don't want to just pass on this. This is a special time. Heavenly Father, you've done a work in some hearts this morning. There might be somebody who's, they've been just bitter. Maybe it's some authority. Maybe it's a parent. Father, I pray that you'd help them get the root of that out. Pull it out in their life. Help them pull that out and get something put back in its place, the Word of God. I pray that you'd help each young person, help us as adults to encourage, to uplift, to bless. God, thank you. I'm just thinking of my life, Lord, no regrets, the joy, yes. Christian home, amen. Such a blessing. I thank you for how you protected. Bless today all that's done. In your name we pray. Amen. Young people, we love you. We do. And time after time after time, it gets weary. It really does. Of the next person that comes in that says, I messed up. I'm sorry. It comes from that listening. Amen. Listening. My dad also used to say, and I tell my kids, they can tell me, even the kids here, it's better to be seen than heard. It's better to be seen than heard. I used to go out with preachers and I'd sit there with my dad and he said, son, don't say a word. Don't talk. It's better to be seen than heard. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what I'll do. Thank you, Brother Brown. Thank you for the time. Again, a lot that goes into this preaching. And I hope you listened. And I hope you take it to heart, as you talked about. Man, write it on the tables of your heart. Take it with you. Some of you have that you think, I can't overcome my situation. I don't know everybody and where you come from, but God can help you. God can help. He's got grace and mercy that's sufficient. Some young people, I can't, my situation's too much. I can't do it. There's people that are out there. My dad came from a divorced home, 16 years old. You can make it. You can do it. God can work in your life. Don't give up. Heard him say last night, suicide, man, even thought of that amongst young people. It's just horrifying. Such a good message for us. Just a few announcements.